Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The waves keep on crashing on me for some reason. But you love coming like a thunderbolt. Well, come here a little closer.
No Doubt is your artist of the day.
Wait, I love my right here.
Hang on. So No Doubt
so good.
Is your artist of the day. I had to inform young Sam Stevie III that Gwen Stefani
Do not tell him he did not know that was No Doubt.
He knew it was No Doubt. He did not know that Gwen Stefani was in No Doubt.
She was.
Yeah, I thought Gwen Stefani was just Gwen Stefani.
Then she branched out like Sting and just became Gwen Stefani.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pardon my lack of knowledge.
Look, when it comes to music, Sam, you know me. If it's not Elton John, I have no idea.
You're young. It's okay.
It's all good. It's all good.
What happened over the weekend with all these proposed crazy tours that I want to go see? Judas Priest, Iron Maiden.
Wow.
Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison.
Now, when is that one? That would be fun.
That's when they're talking about next summer.
Funny, but fun.
Funny?
I would go to that just to people watch the 45-year somethings and sparkly jeans reliving their glory days.
Okay.
Scott Parks is already growing his mullet out.
Damn right I am.
I would actually go see that, but more is like, wouldn't that be funny to go see that?
By the way, I was just on Facebook. I hate the Facebook memories thing. It reminds you of how skinny you were and young you were. I just got this one from 6 years ago.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you.
Me and Maya.
Yeah, she's a little baby. Mm-hmm.
And I'm?
Younger.
Also a little baby.
Younger. You have a little bit of a baby face going on there. You also have chosen to grow your beard out, which I think looks great. And you have a gray beard now. And so if you shaved your entire face.
This is about to go south.
If you shaved your entire face, I do believe you would look younger if that is somehow a goal of yours.
Look how young I am there.
I don't think you should try and look any younger. I really do like the scruffy beard.
I do too. I like the beard.
It's a good look.
Look at Maya.
I know.
Oh my God.
Rebecca, do you know how old I am?
You're just a little bit older than I am.
I will give you the perfect analogy for every woman listening. I am now of the age where I actually spent the money to buy the spray. Remember the old spray toupee that you could buy online?
Oh, yes, those ridiculous things.
You didn't do that.
I bought the spray away the gray.
No, you didn't.
Because no, Dana. It comes in at my temples.
Oh, Dana.
Yeah, I've now reached the age where no. I have that product no. in my bathroom.
No.
Oh, no.
No, yeah. You didn't.
And I bought it at like a high-end salon. It was not cheap. And you just go, little touch-up, I believe they call it. Between colorings.
Does your hair stay soft or is it like crispy?
No, it totally stays soft.
Okay.
I think they've greatly improved.
So you're cheating.
No, I'm not cheating.
That's
I just
not
don't
cheating.
Like the gray in my temples. It bothers me. So when I see it, I spray it.
What does it sound like?
Just a little bit.
I mean, he got out of his car and he's okay. Old. He's like, I don't know, older than you, Scott.
Okay.
I mean, I'm scheduled my first colonoscopy old. All those things
wait,
are starting to happen.
Wait. Have you scheduled your first colonoscopy?
So I'm trying, but it's the end of the year. And as you know, everyone's met their deductible,
right, so they try to get in the end of the year.
But a friend of mine is one of the top colorectal surgeons in the country. And so, you know, I texted her the other night. I'm like, how would you like to get to know Dana intimately?
Friends in low places.
Before January 1st, please.
Nice. And?
I'm waiting on a reply. I'm sure she's like, yeah, that's great.
Wait. Thanks. You're burying the lead here. Are you going in for a colonoscopy?
If they can get me in before January 1, I'd like to, yeah, because they've changed the recommendation.
So has your doctor said you need to go in?
They changed the recommendation this year to
45.
Age 45.
That's right.
And I am 45.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. All of these old lady things are starting to happen to Dana. And I'm good. I'm good with it.
Will you live tweet the prep?
Sure.
Can I call you on the day of the prep?
Sure. And I can't be here on the day of the prep. Is that right?
Oh, I would love for you to be here on the day of the prep.
No.
I think that would be fantastic.
If I can get it done during the dead week between Christmas and New Year's, I would be so happy.
Oh, you're going in for the colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. First one ever?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going down to the only preventable cancer. Well, I've been telling people that for years.
Excuse me?
For years.
I've been telling them that for years.
Well, yeah.
I've been getting colonoscopies since I was 25 years old.
I know. You're a repeat offender.
Repeat enjoyer.
Speaking of medicine, I am super excited for the 5 o'clock hour. Important.
We're going back to this.
You have to be here at 5 o'clock today, and here's why. Very, very sad story. We have had two young people die in our area, mm-hmm. both on the Missouri side, after taking one of the most commonly prescribed antibiotics you can imagine, okay? And this story piqued my interest a couple weeks ago, Scott, because I read about it, and I happen to be allergic to Bactrim. That is the antibiotic in question. There is a team at Children's Mercy here in Kansas City who figured out that Bactrim, that they've been prescribing since the 1970s, could be linked to respiratory lung failure in some young people. Okay. And it's absolutely devastating, the two girls that were lost. It is such important research, Scott, that the FDA picked it up in the last several days, and the FDA is now adding this warning to Bactrim. So before they thought your possible side effects, like me, my tongue swells up, I feel really weird and foggy. I've been allergic since the first time I took it. I think I was around 12 years old.
Okay.
They have now added respiratory failure as a side effect. Mm. And they did it very quickly after Children's Mercy published this research.
So who's coming in at 5?
The two physicians who figured this out will be here at 5 o'clock.
They're local.
They are local.
Okay.
The two women who figured it out, as well as the mother of one of the young girls, sadly, who died, she will call in and join us at 5 o'clock. Mm. And, you know, we're not saying, you know, sound the alarms, no one can ever take this popular antibiotic again, but I think it's important to recognize that they've added this new side effect, which could be death.
Okay.
And so if you're allergic to Bactrim, you need to know this, because I'm allergic to Bactrim.
How did you know?
So they gave it to me for something stupid. I mean, like a urinary tract infection, which was one of the girls who passed away, sadly, had a UTI. They give her Bactrim for a UTI. She dies.
She doesn't know.
No. The other girl had like a skin rash. So these are little silly things that we're prescribing this for. And when I was 12 or 13, they gave it to me in my tongue swell. Like, all I remember is I couldn't talk. I had a really weird reaction to it. And I've never had it since, but I'm sure as hell not having it prescribed to my children.
Sure. 576-7798. Sam Stevie III, Rebecca Crockett, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
He got out of his car, and he's, like, old. He's, like, I don't know, older than you, Scott.
Okay. I got me a NIMBY story here. my backyard. The headline is, Johnson County churches want to shelter the homeless this winter. So why can't they? Story reads from the Kansas City Star. It is 7 p.m., the temperature is dropping, and Tiffany Rangier has no place to sleep. Rangier, who is 41 years old, spent most of the day in a motel room in Olathe, but now it's time to move on. She sits in the parking lot, mulling her few options. First, she'll walk to Taco Bell. Then she'll use the phone at the Salvation Army. Quoting here from Rangier, sometimes I call a person that runs a church here in town. If it wasn't for their understanding, sometimes I wonder what I'd be doing. She says, sitting under a taller, unflinching, as the wind grows stronger. I'm not sure how I actually luck out, but some good Samaritan will help transport me back to Lawrence, where there is a shelter, or I'll stay in a restaurant as long as I can. Like Rangier, a growing number of people in Johnson County every night are scrambling for food, water, and a roof. As winter encroaches, they have no shelter to turn to. Apparently, there is some rule, and help me out, pastors and those who work at churches, that prevents churches in Johnson County. Is this true? From sheltering the homeless?
Well, it's more if you look at the ordinance regarding living arrangements in businesses, homes. So there have been exceptions, and the story gets into the couple of exceptions. I think a veterinarian wanted to have like an apartment upstairs, and they gave an exception for that. If you have a business or a church, there are ordinances prohibiting turning those into, quote, single-family homes. And so you would need to change the ordinance in all of these cities to say, we will allow, in a narrow exception, churches to house the homeless during the months of December, January, and February. And what the people who help the homeless are saying is, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for 6 months of public input and red tape and bureaucracy. People are freezing now, and there is no place for them.
Why can't a church open up their doors, like...
Right, because then you're turning... Let's say you have a business, Scott, and remember this happened in Prairie Village City Hall.
But a church is not, quote, a business, even though...
But they are still regulated by ordinance. And so if they are... what's the word I'm looking for? Not slated to be a church, but if they are... like their category is church, okay? Why can't I think of the word?
I don't know.
Or your category is business, or your category is single-family home. If your category is church, you do not have the right to turn that into the category of single-family home or multiplex or apartment complex or shelter.
But is that what the churches are becoming? Or are they just a place to stay for the night?
They're not designated as shelter.
Okay.
You'll have to look at the text line. Why can't I think of the word?
Is it zoned? Is that what you're looking for?
Thank you. For the love. I'm getting old. They are not zoned to be able to open their doors as a shelter.
Why?
I struggle with this because I tend to agree with you. If anyone is going to step up who has the space and the time, and they, I'm assuming,
and
would handle...
And the wherewithal.
And the wherewithal, and I'm assuming they would handle their own security, it would be a church. And you remember City Hall got in trouble in Prairie Village a couple years ago because they let a homeless man stay the night there, and he was roaming around City Hall, and that was frowned upon.
That was in Prairie Village.
That was. So they're at least being honest and coming out and saying, this is what we want to do. Our congregation supports it. Let us do this.
I'm pretty confident my church does this.
To do it and be zoned to do it, you would have to take it to the city. There would be neighborhood public comment. And you know as well as I do, Scott, there are a lot of people listening, and I understand this, who would say, we did not sign up to live next to a homeless shelter. We signed up to live next to a church.
You live next to a church that is doing God's work. And there's a difference.
But you know there are people who would say, please do God's work over there.
Well, but let me...
Not over here, do it over there.
Let me say this. If you have a problem with the church in your neighborhood opening their doors to the homeless during the week, don't ever take your ass to a church on Sunday because you don't belong there. And you become a bleeding heart liberal.
I would love to hear from neighbors in these neighborhoods where they are going to open this up as a homeless shelter, because Scott,
it's not a homeless shelter.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be an emergency overnight shelter where they will say, okay, from 9 p.m. to 8 a.m., you can come here
and
for warmth and safety
and eat and survive.
Yep.
As Jesus would want you to.
And I hate to play devil's advocate here, but I'm going to.
Interesting choice of words.
With people coming into a community, yes, into a church, there is some level of concern that that would bring property value issues into the equation. It could bring addiction issues. I don't necessarily believe that, but I understand if you lived right next to one of these churches, you saying, like, I have a little bit of a concern. How are they getting here and how are they leaving in the morning?
So we're okay with people coming in on Sunday, donating money into the till, and that money going out to help the homeless. But God forbid if the church that I go to and attend actually does what Jesus told us to do, then I'm worried about my property values? How hypocritical. Excuse me. Homeless person, you need to move. Service starts in an hour.
But Scott, if you live next
door, would you mind
door-
getting your drug-addled ass out of my church so I can come in here and worship? Do you mind? Excuse me.
That's not the issue.
Excuse me.
That is not the issue.
I need you and your little kid to leave because you're not welcome here. I've got to worship.
If you lived next door and you had children who are, let's say, walking or riding their bikes to school in the morning, there are conversations that would be had about that. That's all I'm saying. You would have to sit down with your kids and say, look, they are going to start allowing 60 homeless, single men and women to stay the night in our neighborhood. It's going to be going on right here. Mm-hmm. You're going to be getting up and going to school around the same time that these people, I assume, will be walking back to wherever they came from. We need to have a conversation about that.
Okay. Just be out by 8. Service starts at 9.
I don't think it's about people coming in after the homeless people leave. It's about, my guess is, the children walk into school in the neighborhood.
Okay. 576-7798.
We're standing in line, marking time, waiting for the welfare dime. They can't buy a job. Oh, the man with the silk suit hurries by, catches poor old lady's eye. Just for fun, he says, says.
So a number of Johnson County churches say they want to, especially with winter coming around, they want to shelter the homeless, if only for a night. But a number of cities are saying, well, they're not saying that, but they're saying, we're not so sure. I would only ask those, especially those of you who go to church and sit there and listen to helping the poor, giving away what you have. How do you square this peg? How do you sit in church and say...
I don't think it's necessarily the congregants, Scott. I think it's the neighbors.
Okay. Well, the neighbors are many times a congregant.
Not always.
Fair.
And one of the things I would want to know, and I think this is fair for people who live in these neighborhoods to ask... How are the homeless getting to the church? How are the homeless leaving in the morning when they are to leave at 8 a.m.? What does that look like?
Okay.
Does the church provide transportation? And if so, where do you take them? There are fair logistical questions about this. I think the congregants are probably backing this. I think it's the neighbors that are asking questions, and it's fair. to ask those questions, because you moved in thinking you were moving in next to a church, not a temporary homeless shelter. And I'm not denying there's a need. We all know there's an enormous need, especially for single women and single men.
Let's go to Mark in Edwardsville. Mark, hello.
Hello, guys. This is Mark, your truck driver buddy out of Omaha.
Hi.
Hey, from personal experience, back probably 25 years ago, I was in a situation where I was changing companies that I was going with and ended up quitting a job on the east and parking my truck at a terminal on the east coast, and I live in Omaha, and I had to catch a bus all the way from New Jersey to Omaha, okay? Picked up my bus in New Jersey, who dropped me off at approximately 10:30 at night in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania in early December. And the bus terminal was closed. And I'm standing there not sure what to do because I had about $8 in my pocket. I had a bus ticket wired to me. And a police officer came up and he took me to a church that allowed me, that gave me a cot and a blanket for the night and made sure I was able to get back to my bus in the morning. And it was honestly a lifesaver. I wish more churches would do this.
Well, Mark, I would argue more churches are, and that's what we're talking about. Jim in Topeka. Jim, good afternoon. Hello.
Yes. Well, I've got two things. One, why doesn't the minister just say we're holding an all-night prayer vigil, and it bypasses all the rest of these other restrictions and things, and come on in the church and get warm and have prayer meeting with us all in here. Come on in. We got soup and stay warm. And hold service all night, all day, if they need to keep the thing open.
And to make it a service?
To make it a service. To make it one of their come to meeting.
But the question still exists, Jim, and again, I think it's a fair one if you live in these neighborhoods. How are you getting the homeless to you? And when the, quote, service is over, where and how are you getting them back to where they came from?
I'll agree to that to a point, but I'll also go, whatever happened to all the old, what we call poor farms back in the day, to where those people had their own city, their own thing, their own community, and the homeless situation was able to survive a lot better when we had those, what we call poor farm, to where that they did all the necessary things to keep that farm running. But it was a thing to house them. It was a thing to feed them. It was a thing to keep them warm. But they had to participate to be able to keep the farm going.
Are you saying that's what we go back to, Jim?
I'm saying it's something that we really should look at, and we really should look at why we quit doing it and see if it's some kind of an unreasonable expectation or something, because it's a system that did work at a time when a lot of people needed a place to stay because they got kicked out of their houses because they couldn't pay the taxes even. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of things to this, and some of the solutions we've actually thrown away. But for the minister, just say, I'm holding an all-night prayer meeting. Come on in.
Well, now wait, Jim. Hang on just a second. Would you be okay with your minister holding an all-night prayer meeting?
They've held them at other times.
That's not what I asked. Would you be okay with the neighborhood church in your neighborhood holding an all-night prayer meeting?
As long as there is somebody there that's responsible at all times, what's the difference?
Okay. And what happens in the morning?
That's another problem. If you need to keep the meeting going, keep the meeting going.
Okay. What happens at Sunday morning at 9 o'clock?
They can come on in and meet the new congregation and enjoy the help and find people that need help, that want to help, and see if there's somebody there that's got a job for them to do. You know, it's one thing for the community to work together to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of solutions, but first we have to want there to be one.
All right. The argument would be, do you support this idea, and then do you support this idea at a church in your neighborhood? Now, I will say this. There are several churches in my neighborhood. St. Pius X is right down the street. There is a Church of Christ right here in Mission, right down the street from my house. There's a Methodist church in downtown Roland Park. I have no idea. I have no idea if they open their doors to the homeless.
Wouldn't you want to know? I would want to know. I'm not saying I would care or I would do anything differently, but I would like to know.
No, I figure the less I know, the better, probably.
Now, see, as a mother of four children and two girls, well, I want to know.
I have two children.
I want to know. And your girls, to be fair, don't walk to school from your residence. But we have a lot of kids who walk in our neighborhood, and I am not saying that homelessness automatically equates to crime. I'm not saying that. But I feel like as a neighbor, you do have the right to know when something that is zoned for purpose A is turned into purpose B.
But I also would point out the irony of charity that is the church. And then we get upset when the church engages in charity. We go to church and we listen to a pastor tell us, give away what you have. Give it away. It's not yours, it's God's. I'm not trying to turn this into a religious conversation, by the way. But I sit in church and I hear my pastor say, give it away. It doesn't belong to you. And then we get upset because the church gives it away. And the church does everything that we advocate, but damn it, you're doing it in my neighborhood.
You know that if they put this to a vote,
not in my neighborhood.
I'm just trying to be honest here. You know if they put this to a vote and they open this up for public comment, okay? In any city. This doesn't have to be about Johnson County. You open this up for public comment in any city, the neighbors are going to have concerns. Doesn't mean it would block an ordinance change or a zoning change in the winter, but the neighbors are going to have concerns. We see this every single time, Scott. Someone opens a group home in a neighborhood for addicted individuals. The neighbors freak out, and I get it.
But Dana, the great hypocrisy is in all of this. We want our kids to ring bells for the Salvation Army. We want our kids to work in a soup kitchen. We want to teach our children, and I think you would agree with this, Dana. We want our children to learn selflessness. We want them to give away their time. We just don't want them to give away their time in our neighborhood. We want them to give away their time in someone else's neighborhood, and that's wrong. We want them to be charitable. We want them to say, help the homeless. Help those who need a hand up, not a hand out. We just don't want you to hand it out in our neighborhood.
Is it not fair for neighbors to ask, where is the emergency shelter? And Lawrence is dealing with this as we speak.
Well, Lawrence, the most liberal city in the area, is shipping these people into the county.
Well, this is, and in the Kansas City Star article that you referenced, the local woman who is homeless looking for a place to go is actually trying to get in Lawrence because there is no space here. This is a problem that isn't going to go away. Mm-hmm. And the church is trying to put a Band-Aid on this. It is a lovely suggestion. I don't think it's necessarily a bad suggestion, but it's not going to stop the problem or help the problem. We need emergency shelter space.
I think it helps the problem. I don't think it stops
it's
problem.
A Band-Aid. It is a temporary solution to a long-term problem.
I'll give you that one. 576-7798, 576-7798.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. So I just did need some talking to the sun.
In Kansas City. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
I was just about to make a comment about that guy that said the work farms or the homeless farms, whatever. Probably the reason why they don't do that anymore is because several years ago, one of the cities, I can't remember where it was trying to give homeless people food for work. So they were cleaning up the neighborhoods, going around cleaning up the neighborhoods, and they were giving them groceries and food at the soup kitchen. and shelter for that. And then the government said, no, you can't do that. You have to physically pay them.
Because he was considered an employee?
Yep, they considered him an employee because the state was taking care of him.
All right. Hey, Bob, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it. Finn, North Kansas City. Finn, hello.
Yes, Dana and Parks. Love your show. First-time caller. I just got one thing I wanted to talk to you about. I'm here in the Briarcliff area, sir, and I can tell you right now, Mr. Parks, that there are a lot of homeless people here, and you have St. Therese, which is one of the largest churches in the Northland. And let me tell you something, my friend. They're sending me envelopes every month to pay for their $3 or $5 million. They're not opening up their doors to the homeless, sir. I have a lot of friends that live in Johnson County, and we all know that's one of the 10 richest counties. And let me tell you something. Maybe your church, sir, is the exception to the rule, but there are not too many churches up your way, sir, or out my way, that are truly opening up their doors to the homeless and looking out for the women and the children and the single men that Dana was talking about. And it's very frustrating. Everybody talks a good game, but when it really comes down to it, Mr. Parks, no one's really doing anything for the homeless. It's few and far between.
But
sir.
Finn, the
and
cities are saying. But Finn, real quick, the cities are saying no. That you have to rezone this if that's what you're going to do. And you know as well as I do, it will be very hard to get that passed.
Well, that's because the rich people don't want them in the Johnson County. The rich people don't want them in Briarcliff. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, 63rd and Cicero, which is a pretty tough neighborhood. But you know what? In Chicago, they always had room for the homeless, whether it was in the church, whether it was a homeless shelter. They never kick out the homeless in Chicago. The homeless that are wandering around Chicago, for example, on Michigan Avenue, Mr. Parks, that's by their choice. They're not trying to do anything to make their lives better. But I see a lot of people in Kansas City and the Kansas City area that are trying to do great things with their life, but the churches are turning them away, Mr. Parks and Dana, because they don't want it in their neighborhood. That's not too God-fearing when you act that way towards your fellow man.
I freely said I would have no problem if St. Pius X and the Methodist Church down the street from my home opened up themselves to homeless people. I would have no problem with that.
But you know what? They're not, Mr. Parks. And it's getting to become pathetic and an issue. Not just Kansas City, Chicago, Miami. I don't have to tell you, Mr. Parks and Dana, you guys travel all over the country, all over the world. This is something that we need to really wrap our hands around, or we're really going to have a problem. Because you know what? In this country, Dana and Mr. Parks, and then I'll let you go, as you know, we got so much money in this country. If we really wanted to eradicate homelessness in this country, it would not be a big leap to do that, sir. It wouldn't be.
Okay. I lost track of how many times you call me sir and Mr. Parks, and usually I think that somebody talking down to me, but I'll let you slide on that one. Robert in Olathe. Robert, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Love your show. It's going to be hard to follow him.
It really wouldn't be, but go ahead.
I live in Olathe, and in the article they talk about the Branches Church that opened up their facility last year to the homeless. Mm-hmm. And my subdivision backs right up to the church. I don't have a problem with it. The problem was at 7 o'clock in the morning they had to kick these people out. Well, where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
And two to three times a week, we had people in our neighborhood that had people sitting in their backyards all day because these people had nowhere to go. They'd just come in and sit on their furniture in the backyard.
Oh.
But then the other issue I have is these churches, I can use the church, the Branches, for example. These were just people in the congregation. They have no training to deal with the mental health issues and the other issues that come with being homeless. I'd say 50% had hard times and are now homeless, but the other 50%, there's something besides just hitting hard times. How do you address that issue?
I don't know the answer to that, Robert, and you bring up a good question. How do we address it? I mean, let's quit asking questions and let's come up with answers.
I mean, I have no problem with the church bringing the homeless in, but at 7 o'clock, we can't kick them out. We've got to help them, whether we put them in some kind of a program where they're learning trades or whatever. But we can't just kick them out at 7 o'clock because they're homeless all day, all night, not just at night.
What we could do, Robert, is let them come into the church at night, put them on a bus in the morning, put them under a bridge during the day, and then bring them back to the church at night. I know that sounds stupid and sounds almost sarcastic, and it is. But what do we do? I mean, we can't sit there in church on a Sunday and say we need to give away what we have, and as long as it's not in our neighborhood. Aren't we hypocrites?
Yes. Yeah, we are. And that's part of the problem. I mean, we have the Salvation Army in Olathe. Why can't we send them up there during the day to learn? I mean, they have the Salvation Army offers trade programs.
And then what? Ship them back to the church at night?
And so they get a meal and a place to stay at night. Yeah, they're learning something, though, during the day. Okay. Maybe they can eventually transition out of being homeless.
All right, my friend. It was good to hear from you. You have a good afternoon. Thank you.
You too.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.